So you actually need all three areas of focused thinking, intuitive thinking, and analytical thinking to be optimized in order to, you know, as much as you can, proof yourself against scams.
You're listening to KBCast, the cybersecurity podcast for all executives. Cutting through the jargon and hype to understand the landscape where risk and technology meet. Now, here's your host, Carissa Breen.
Joining me today is Philip Campbell, CEO from EnigmaFit, and today we're discussing beyond cybersecurity awareness. So, Philip, thanks for joining. It's wonderful to have you on the show again. And before we start, I want to congratulate you on the recent publishing of your book, Brain Habits. So we will be linking a copy of the book in the show notes for those of you who are wanting to dig a little bit deeper into brain habits. So let's dig into it. I want to start with talking about security awareness training and your thoughts on this. Now, I was talking to someone on the show who doesn't believe we need security awareness training. And it depends on who you ask. There's obviously for and against. So I want to sort of get your read on it, Philip, from what you're seeing and applying your lens. So where would you sort of say we're going wrong as an industry when it comes to awareness training?
Thanks, Carissa, and great to join you again. And thank you for your kind words in my new book on brain habits. Look, firstly, I would say we definitely need security awareness training, but we need to do it completely differently. Because if the current approach is already working, then we'd have much, much less scams coming through the system. So we're all aware that we've got a cyber war on, and there's a lot of sophisticated people that are contributing to that cyber war. But from a training point of view, the weakest link is the human error. So what I want to concentrate on the conversation with you today is how we can use brain science to look at how we can do the security awareness training differently. And to do that, I'd like to have a look at what causes these human errors that lead to the disastrous consequences of people being scammed. Fundamentally there, Carissa, the major problem with the current approach to security awareness training is that it focuses on comprehension and developing people's knowledge. And we all know that comprehension doesn't equal capability. So from a little bit of using my background as a cognitive scientist and an executive brain coach, I talk about the two hemispheres of the brain. So I think most people are aware the left hemisphere of the brain is particularly focused on language. And that's where we develop our knowledge and our comprehension. But what a lot of people don't realize is the really important role that the right hemisphere plays, which is nonverbal, in being able to take that new knowledge and apply it and turn it into capability.
And I'm keen to understand before you jump into that, Philip, no one likes being wrong. So where do you think people sort of go wrong on this front?
I think where people go wrong is they don't understand the brain science. And we actually do a lot of training, not just in cyber security awareness, but in a lot of areas by doing what I call back the front. So we focus on, you know, we've all been to those trainings and you sit down and you do it online and we do a 2-hour workshop, etc. And then they test your knowledge and you can either do an online assessment or some multiple choice approach or, you know, write about what you've just learned. And most times people get the tick and they've gone through the sheep dip training and you've deemed to be trained because you answered the questions about it. So the assumption is that just having knowledge is enough to interrupt and identify a scam before you fall victim to it. And clearly that's not the case. So the missing piece is that we need to develop the right hemispheres, what we call fluid thinking, which is how we learn to learn, but more importantly is how we apply that knowledge and turn that knowledge into capability. However, to develop the right hemisphere capability, we need to do it in a way that doesn't use language. So we need to give people the development exercises to improve things like their focus thinking, so they become very aware of when they might be distracted and miss the scam, and about 3 or 4 other what I call subconscious thinking habits, which are the domain of the right brain.
Wow. I really appreciate that clarity. One of the things you said before, Philip, was like, you know, people aren't aware because how their brain works. So the only people that probably really know how their brain works is people like yourselves. So the average people like myself, how do we start to understand how everything does work and we're cognizant of the right brain, the left brain? How does all that work for just an average Joe, as they call it?
Look, the simplest explanation is if you think of the brain as an iceberg, so part that's sitting above the water, think of that as your conscious mind. And when traditional training happens, it's you're being communicated to at the conscious mind level. But like a big iceberg, most of that, the brain, is under the surface level. So it's at the, what we call the subconscious, so below the conscious threshold. What the cyber scanners do is they know how to bypass the conscious mind and trick the conscious mind into thinking there's nothing to see here and keep going. But it's the subconscious brain, the dominant right-hand side, that's the one that can give you the warning. But those warnings come about as a feeling or something's not quite right here. They don't come about as a language, which is the conscious mind. So what we need to do is a bit of what I call brain balance. So you wouldn't go to a gym and dump on a piece of equipment and just exercise the left hemisphere of your body. And when we're doing traditional training, we're just exercising the left hemisphere of our brain. In the gym, you exercise both the left and right side of the bodies, and we just need to complement it with developing the right hemisphere so that our subconscious brain can give us an early warning detection that, hey, you're about to fall victim to a scam. And because if you're not aware of it, then you can't put into play all of that great training in terms of just the knowledge of it, because you're not even aware of you're being scammed, and it's until it's too late and it's over and you've already been scammed.
Yeah, look, that's so true, and I think that's what's happening a lot at the moment. There's stuff coming out in the news saying there's a scam epidemic happening at the moment, and I think people are trying to be more mindful of it. But I'm curious then to know, just to so while on this topic, is how do we become more mindful of, is this a scam or not? Because how cyber criminals work is, of course, they prey on emotion, et cetera, to get people or everyday people to click on a link or transfer their life savings to another random account, which is not X Bank. So how do people sort of give that moment of clarity to sort of even just stop what they're doing for a moment before they act?
So in my book, Brain Habits, I talk about deep subconscious thinking habits. And I'm going to focus on the three that are really pertinent to making sure you don't get caught by a scam. So the first one I want to talk about is the brain habit of focused thinking. And you may have come across a report in The Economist magazine that said people are distracted 28% of their working day. So we're all in information overload. We're all being bombarded by information. And the cyber scammers are just saying, all I need to do is tap into that 28% when somebody's not paying attention. And once you're not paying attention to what's coming in, whether it's via an email, whether it's coming in via phone, or whether it's coming in by any other medium, if your brain isn't attending to it, it slips right past your first line of defense. And once that happens, it's almost too late to do anything about it. So there's various ways that we can improve our focus thinking. And the other thing that exacerbates it, Carissa, is we have an assessment of the 10 subconscious brain habits. And curiously, 90% of people that we assess are either low or moderate in their focus thinking, which is the ability to stay focused on the most important issue and not be sidetracked by distractions. So the brain is actually loaded against it to be able to catch the scam as it's happening, because if our focus is distracted, then we're not even going to become aware of it. So can you see how that would impact people?
Yeah, look, I mean, you raise great points, right? So would you say look at today's day and age, I mean, especially people like myself, like I could go in and out of like five applications in a minute, like text someone here, message someone on LinkedIn, respond to someone on Twitter, Instagram. Would you say that our brains have become desensitized just by default because we are looking at so many different things each day? And so then I guess it's kind of normal for people to fall victim of these scams because we've got so much going on in our faces every day.
What happens is we just quickly switch our attention from one task to the other and backwards and forwards. But it's a very inefficient and ineffective way to work. The other tool that helps in this is kind of interesting. We also look at an area called intuitive thinking. So intuitive thinking is what our subconscious brain uses for our gut feel or our street smart. So we've all had that situation where we're talking to somebody and you get this feeling and you don't quite know why, and you're going, I don't quite believe that person. That doesn't seem right. And this is actually a subconscious thinking habit. And what we want to do is ensure that that is maximized. So if you think back to World War II and the Battle of Britain, the radar was first coming in there. And what it did was it was able to send out the radar signal, pick up the planes, give early warning to Britain so they were able to get their planes up in the air and defend it. And that's what our intuitive thinking is like. Again, what can happen if somebody has low intuitive thinking? It's like their radar hardly goes out at all. It doesn't catch the incoming scam, and it just goes past and comes and wreaks havoc and devastation. The other one that can happen is that if somebody has moderate intuitive thinking, they send the radar out, they get a ping back and they hear something, but it's a very faint signal. And if you're overloaded with your distracting and multitasking, as you were talking about there, the signal doesn't get loud enough to say, hey, stop what you're doing. We've got a really dangerous event that could be just about to occur. So can you see how if a person's intuitive thinking is low or moderate, they don't get a loud enough signal to say, hey, I need to intercept this. And this is what we mean by the subconscious thinking habit, the big part of the iceberg trying to bring up to the conscious mind, hey, we got a real problem here. Let's get focused and deal with it.
Yeah, I definitely see what you're saying. So would you also say that majority of people, now this is a majority, this isn't everyone, have low or moderate intuitive thinking, if you were to sort of do a bit of a quick assessment on people? And then if so, why is that the case?
Okay, so there are quite a number of people that have moderate intuitive thinking. Not many people have really low intuitive thinking. It's driven by what we call environmental awareness. But what I have noticed is that with COVID, and sorry, let me give you an example of what I mean by environmental awareness. So pre-COVID, people used to do presentations to a room of, say, 20 people, and the intuitive thinking, the subconscious brain would be just scanning the whole room and reading the room and saying, am I on track? Oh, this group on the left seems to not be with me, so I'll give them a bit more attention, etc. So it's not happening in your conscious mind. It's just something that you're subconsciously aware of. During COVID and where we're doing all of those Zoom and Teams calls, that dynamic changed dramatically, because instead of having a room and we're looking at people 10, 20, 30 feet away, we're looking at people 2 or 3 feet away on the screen in front of us. So we can no longer scan the room. And even if everybody's got a camera on, we can only look at one person's face at a time. And what's happening there is it's been atrophying the brain's ability to be more environmentally aware, and that underpins the intuitive thinking. So we have noticed that during COVID period, people's intuitive thinking did go down. That radar went down, and it's lower than the average pre-COVID. But hopefully now we're getting back into working more with people, and we're getting that environmental awareness up, that will help to improve that intuitive thinking. But the main thing I'd say to people is, even if you've got a weak signal gut feel, and even if you're busy, stop, pay attention to it, and check it out.
So just to talk about environmental awareness a little bit more, I find this really interesting. So I think, like, growing up, me and my brother would always, like, do certain things to see if, like, anyone noticed. So I remember I was working in the bank one day, and I don't know, maybe that's why I love doing the show, because I'm curious. I remember like just making really like loud noises or like slamming my laptop on the desk. And there was maybe one guy who looked up out of like a whole like 50 or 100 people on this part of the floor I was sitting on. And I was telling my friend about it. And she's like, I can't believe no one noticed. Like, you were making so much noise. And I knew what you were doing, KB, because that's who you are. But is that having that environmental awareness? Like, obviously, I'm quite sensitive to noises and things like that. So I obviously may pick up on things a little bit more than other people because I'm quite sensitive to those things. But is that an example of environmental awareness? I was just curious to see who would notice that who's consecutively making this noise. Like, clearly, you're on a corporate floor. People aren't really, really loud, but I was. But one person paid attention to what I was doing or was like curious to see what the noise was. But everyone else like just didn't bother them.
Well, you've actually nailed them. And let me give you another example. One of our clients that we tested, they have that low to moderate environmental awareness. And they had to go back to the USA for a couple of weeks. And what happened while he was away was his EA rearranged the office. And he came back to the office. And it took him 3 or 4 days to work out that his personal environment of his office had changed a bit. And people were bemused and say, how could you not be aware of it? And that's what I'm saying. If somebody's got low to moderate, it's not a conscious willpower thing. And so we work with them to make sure that they are looking at all sorts of different environments and noticing differences and changes. And even when we were working with Zooming clients, I said it's extremely important in developing rapport that if you notice somebody's got a slightly different haircut or they've colored their hair or they're wearing some different clothes, just giving them some positive reinforcement that you've noticed that. But a lot of people said, oh, I didn't need to notice that Mary or Jim had changed these different things on them. So that's exactly what we're talking about.
So I'm curious then to know, let's focus on an executive and even the EA rearranging the office. It's probably because like that guy has got a lot of stuff going on. So would you attribute moderate intuitive thinking to someone who is super senior, super smart, but they've got a lot of stuff going on? So maybe they didn't notice that the pot plant moved because as soon as they came back from their work trip, they've got people trying to chase them up. They've got their own personal stuff they need to attend to. So maybe it was not their fault, but they have a lot of things going on. So would you link people who are executives, super busy, a lot of stuff going on to the moderate intuitive thinking, not because they're stupid, but because, hey, they have a very big workload?
Yeah, a couple of things. But having lower or moderate intuitive thinking, environmental awareness, is not a matter of being smart or stupid. It's a matter of picking up the signals. So even a really busy executive who's come back from there, if they've got high environmental awareness and intuitive thinking, it'll stand out straight away to them. It's almost like, you know, it's jarring to them. You know, something's changed here. What's going on from there? So they would notice it no matter how busy they are or what's going on in their world. But as I say, that other person, it takes them time to notice. It's not that they don't notice at all, but it took them 3 or 4 days. If you look at what a scammer does, they want to catch you, throw you into a moment of urgency so that if you have low or moderate intuitive thinking, it's too late for you by the time you've missed it because you're already down that rabbit hole.
So then I'm curious then to know, would you say in your experience over the years, would you say men have higher intuitive thinking or women, or would you say it's about the same?
There's not a great deal of difference in terms of the ability to pick up a signal. But what I have noticed is that women will pay more attention to it than men. So funnily enough, you know that saying, trust your gut. And women tend to, and this is anecdotal, you know, we haven't tested scientifically, but anecdotally, when we talk to men versus women about it, this is what comes up. And so they pay much more attention to that signal. And the interesting things with people that I've spoken to who have been scammed is they'll often say, you know what, Philip, you're right. Something just didn't feel right, but I still went ahead anyway. And that's what the scammers are relying on. So, and particularly to your other point, if somebody's really busy and they're trying to multitask and do different things, then there's so much noise from all the activity and information bombardment going out that it almost drowns out the intuitive gut feel signal. And again, think of it as a gut feel signal as your subconscious brain, which processes information in parallel with pictures, diagrams, relationships, versus the conscious mind processes information serially because it's dealing with language, one word after another, sentence after another, etc. So subconscious thinking habit of intuitive think, brain subconscious trying to say, hey, I've detected something's not quite right, but because it doesn't have a language center, it can't tell the conscious mind that. So it communicates to the conscious mind with a feeling or a sense of something. So it's very different ways of communicating. But as I say, on average, I find most women tend to pay much more attention to the signal, whereas the men kind of put it to one side too quickly.
So would you say on that note, more men are being scammed than women simply based on what you just said? I mean, generally speaking, of course.
Not necessarily, because there's a third subconscious thinking habit that comes into it. And that's the subconscious thinking of analytical thinking. So if we've got to take through a progress, if the focus isn't there, you get through the first layer of defense. If the intuitive thinking isn't there, it gets through the second layer of defense. But if those two layers pick up that something's not quite right, then the brain has to analyze, why am I feeling this way? So we're not saying make a decision on feeling or gut feel, but try and get more information as to why I'm feeling this way. And what the scammers do is to throw in another curveball, which is the curveball of emotion. So if you look at a lot of scams, and we'll talk through some of those in a moment, they're often dealing with emotion. So it can be love, you know, caring for somebody. It can be fear. So if the analytical thinking isn't rationally looking at what's going on and the emotion goes, oh, I've got to look after, you know, somebody I love, or gee, I don't want that thing to happen to me, or hey, here's an opportunity for me to get some money I didn't think I was going to. So if that emotion is deliberately set up by the scammers comes in, then it can quickly override the other two as well. So you actually need all three areas of focused thinking, intuitive thinking and analytical thinking to be optimized in order to, you know, as much as you can, proof yourself against scams.
So I want to swap gears now, switch gears, and I want to talk about security awareness training. Now, again, depends on who you ask. People got different versions. It's not a right or wrong. It's more so in a conversation. It's an opinion. Now, I know in my previous companies working at them and having to do security awareness training, some of the training, there'd just be this level of banality. It would put me to sleep, which would result in me getting the training wrong, right? And I was in cybersecurity at the time, which was slightly concerning. But do you think that we're just too focused now on getting people to just do the training rather than actually retain the information? Again, this goes into the compliance piece. Like, yes, everyone across the organization has done a security awareness training, tick in the box, done. Because I've looked at some of these trainings and I'm just like, that is so boring that I'm not going to remember it. And if I'm in cybersecurity, imagine someone outside of cybersecurity and what they're thinking.
Yeah, indeed. And this is the danger of the just relying on left hemisphere oriented training. You know, if it's just sheep dip training and tick the box, etc., and that worked, then we wouldn't be having the scams. So we still need that knowledge, and we need to add another component, which are all of these warning systems. So the warning, you know, don't be distracted. The intuitive thinking picking up something's not quite right here. The analytical thinking is saying, oh, they're trying to pull my heartstrings or my greed strings or my fear strings. You can't teach that in a left brain, language-based, knowledge-oriented program. You can make people cognizant that that might happen. But to be able to have the radar click in, you need to add another layer, which is the subconscious thinking development of the right hemisphere. Because if your right hemisphere subconscious brain doesn't pick up that you're about to be scammed and doesn't send the warning signal to the conscious mind, then all of that great training that people have put together and knowledge people have doesn't come into play because it's gone past the three layers of defense and it's all too late. So what I recommend is get people's fluid thinking up in those three thinking habits up first, and then they'll be able to understand the new knowledge and be able to apply it better. Because if you haven't got that warning signal from that right hemisphere development, then the left hemisphere knowledge just doesn't have the opportunity to kick in. So can you see how you need both, not one or the other?
Yeah, 100%. I can see how there's interdependencies there. Okay, so how do we do that? So for someone who's like, oh, you know, maybe I need to level up my skills, how do people go about doing that? Because I'm all about this is a thing, this is a problem, but let's get some solutions here.
So what we do when we provide that sort of capability is it's a very different type of development. And I'll use an analogy. So most people, when they first learn to drive a car, they go into what's called cognitive overload. You know, they have to look at get the gears right. They have to look in the rear vision mirror. They have to look forward. They have to look in the side mirror. And it's just so much information coming at them that the conscious brain can't process it all. So what happens is they use a technique called deliberate practice. And that's where you get somebody who's an expert, in this case, a driving instructor, come along and break down the driving technique down into small bite-sized chunks. And, you know, one lesson, you'll get how you control the speed, and another lesson in terms of, you know, the environmental awareness, looking right, left, behind, et cetera, et cetera. But the person doesn't develop that new capability until they go and practice with their friends and family. So it's only by doing that practice that the brain starts to wire that in. And once it does it over and over again and repeats it, it goes from conscious mind processing to subconscious brain processing. And all of a sudden, the person's driving down the track, they're driving along, they're looking at the beautiful view, they're listening to the radio, and they're talking to their friends, and it's almost like the car's driving itself. So it's a very different type of training. You have to do the exercise over a period of time because you're literally tapping into the brain's neuroplasticity and creating a new brain habit that operates automatically and subconsciously. So as an example, with focused thinking, when we provide that focused thinking development, what we want to do is get the brain signal to noise ratio up. So the signal in this case is, hey, it's a potential scammer. But we've got all the noise of everything we're trying to do. And as you were saying, using five applications in a minute, et cetera, et cetera. So if that noise is overwhelming the signal of a potential scam because somebody's focus thinking is lower, then they won't even pick it up. So we do these exercises which amplify the signal, but also help to decrease the noise so that they can get that signal that a scam is potentially just about to happen. And then when it comes to the intuitive thinking, we develop that by upgrading the environmental awareness. And we do deliberate exercises, a bit like you banging the desk or the EA changing an environment, so that people are aware of the changes. And it also impacts how people engage with each other. So sometimes if you're getting scammed over the phone, if you're not picking up that person's using language which impacts your thinking and probably more language which impacts your feeling, and using language to create an urgency so they want you to make a decision right now because they don't want you to analyze what's going on, what's being thought through, then that's where it's not going to work. So we use those things of changing people's environment and seeing how quickly and easily they pick up those changes. And then the last one is what we call getting the analytical thinking up, and its ability to break down lots of information and data and complex problems into smaller bite-sized chunks. So we use particular activities. Interestingly enough, one of them involves a game that children play when they're younger, but if you didn't play the game much, then you probably have quite lower analytical thinking. But I would just encourage people that get used to breaking information down quickly into smaller bite-sized chunks, because then you're going to be able to realize that, you know, they're pulling at my love heartstrings or my child, or they're pulling at my greed, or they're pulling at my fear. Because once you've worked that out, you know, if you've got great focus, your intuitive thinking has got this really loud warning sign going off, and then you hear them talking about factors that are tapping into your greed or fear or love, you know, that's a slam dunk that you probably need to get out of that particular situation. Would it be useful if I gave you some examples of how that played out and how people have been caught and how they could look to avoid it in the future?
Yeah, please.
They're not in cybersecurity, but they're pretty savvy when it comes to technology. And they got this phone call from a person that sounded legitimate, and they knew just enough about them to make it sound reasonable. And unfortunately, our colleague was in the middle of something busy, and the phone call said, oh, look, there's something urgent with your account, which we need to fix up straight away. And they said, oh, okay, blah, blah, blah. Before they know it, they'd given them two pieces of crucial information and they were gone. And again, they said afterwards, I kind of knew that something wasn't quite right, but I was busy. I didn't stop and focus on it. I didn't analyze what was going, and I came in hook, line and sinker. And they were really mad at themselves because they, of all people, knew that that should be the case there. And then you get the other scams, you know, going around at the moment. Mum, can you put $300 in my bank account because I'm at the shopping center and I haven't got my credit card money. I need to be able to pay it. And it's all done by text, so the voice isn't there, and the daughter doesn't get any money on that. So in that case, you know, the focus thinking is that defense is dropped because it seems like it's your daughter. You know, the intuitive thinking, oh, well, I've given her money before, so that's not an unusual thing. And then, you know, the analytical thinking just goes out the door because I love her and, of course, I'll give her $300. So that's the way it tends to play out. And another one is, you know, get a text or something from the tax department to say, oh, look, you've got a tax refund of a few hundred dollars coming. Please just let us know your details and we'll send it out. And before you know it, you're busy. You're sending the details out there, and you're some hundreds of dollars lighter than you were before. So if you look at just about every scam, you'll see it's built on distract the person first, bypass their intuitive thinking and gut feel, and make sure they don't have time to analyze it and pull at the emotional things related to love, fear, or greed. And they're all related to these subconscious thinking habits.
So going back to the driving example that you use, and when you're starting to drive, there's all these things that are going on and you're obviously a lot more aware than when you're driving for a long period of time over the years. So is there any sort of like even smaller exercises that people can do to catch themselves from not falling victim of a scam? Even if you go back to the recent ACCC report released in Australia, that $3.1 billion was lost to Australians in the last year. Like that's a lot of money. So clearly we've all got these exercises that we can do to reduce that. Is there anything that you'd recommend?
Yeah, sure. And one thing I'd recommend in addition, and I'll go through some of those things in a moment, is I think it's really important that the people that are in charge of cybersecurity in the organization elevate their own fluid thinking and demonstrate capability and show the average user what's involved. And so we tend to work with those senior executives to get that fluid thinking up, and particularly around that focus thinking and environmental thinking and analytical thinking, but also things like strategic thinking and the innovative thinking as well, because people that are leading the organization in the area of cybersecurity aren't aware of how the brain's working for themselves and can't have an experience of that, then they're not providing the guidance to the rest of the users on how to improve it. So we're actually spending more time working with those senior executives to get their fluid thinking up. But in terms of what people can do themselves, there's a thing called Where's Waldo, or other places it's called Where's Wally. And so what you've got is this one figure in amongst hundreds and hundreds of figure, and that figure is the signal and all of the other hundreds of people the noise. So you can do something like that just to start developing and rewiring your brain so that signal gets improved. And then if you want to get really good at it, then we can do additional things on that as well. The other thing is that, again, with the business executives in charge of cybersecurity, I was talking to one client a little while back, and you know, we're just talking about, you know, it's like being a triathlete. You know, you have to be good at swimming and riding the bike and at running. And he said, look, I feel as though we're one person that needs to be good at all those things. But I feel the scammers have somebody who's elite at swimming, somebody else who's elite at riding the bike, and somebody else who's elite at running. And I'm trying to compete against all three people that have a bit of a break from each other. So they were really saying that ability to be at the top of your game from a subconscious thinking habit is something that's helping them and their team to stay ahead of the scammers.
So, Philip, is there any sort of closing comments or final thoughts you'd like to leave our audience with today?
We need to take a brain balance approach. We need to engage the right brain in training and development to detect the signal. Because if we don't detect the signal, then all the left brain training of what to do once you get the signal doesn't come into play. So the two key takeouts are get that brain balance, make sure that you're giving your people that subconscious thinking development, that fluid thinking development, so they can detect the signal, and also that the executives that are leading it are operating at their highest level, because we all know that the scammers know a lot about the human brain and how it works, and unfortunately you're fighting at one hand tied behind the back, because they're continually being how the brain works and how they can bypass the defense mechanism. So it makes much more sense that the executives in cybersecurity understand how the brain works so they combat the scammers.
Thanks for tuning in. We hope that you found today's episode useful and you took away a few key points. Don't forget to subscribe to our podcast to get our latest episodes.
This podcast is brought to you by MercSec, the specialists in security, search, and recruitment solutions. Visit MercSec.com to connect today.
If you'd like to find out how KBI can help grow your cyber business, then please head over to KBI.digital.
This podcast was brought to you by KBI.media, the voice of cyber.